In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In December, we hear a lot about the magic of the season. Now, people don't actually believe in magic, but what they mean is they believe in the goodness of man. That when pushed to the brink, we have great potential to do good. We're selfless, we're giving, we're kind, even sacrificial. And so we can overcome evil with kindness and make this world a better place and have a better 2019 than 2018. Next year is always going to be better. For them, that's what the magic of the season is. Many churches fall into this and teach that with God's help, we can improve. So for them, the ultimate goal of Christianity is to go from bad to good, from good to better, and from better to best. And with God's help, we can achieve it. Not only does this improvement make the world around us a better place, but it actually brings me closer to God, or so they say. Yet this kind of teaching lands us squarely in the law. And the law never brings us closer to God. In fact, the more we realize what the law says, the further we get from God. Why? Because we have no potential for goodness. Every inclination of man's heart is only evil from childhood, writes our Lord. So the greatest threat to Christianity this time of year is not Santa Claus. It's not Christmas decorations. And it's not even shopping or marketing. But the greatest threat to Christianity in December is the teaching, the idea that man is by nature good and can achieve great things. We are not born good. We are not even born neutral. We're not born with the freedom to choose between right and wrong, at least how God defines right and wrong. Rather, we are born as sinners. We are born in bondage to Satan, in his kingdom. In fact, we are conceived in the kingdom of the devil, enemies of God, slaves to sin, and destined only for death. And there's nothing we can do about it. Yes, man has great potential, but only for evil. So God did not give us his law so that we might have a how-to in getting closer to God. He commands what is impossible because he says, "Be perfect as I am perfect." And who of us would claim to be perfect? So God commands the impossible to show us just how impotent, helpless, and worthless we are. Man is obsessed with feel-good stories this time of year because he thinks he is good by nature. So like Scrooge, he can turn his life around and make this world a better place and help those who have little or nothing. And yet the reality is this, that when sinners hear the law of God, they do not go from bad to good, but they go from bad to worse. Because now they think that there is something they can do to fix their situation with God and bring themselves closer to God, which only drives them further away from God. Man is not free. You do not have a free will. Oh, you do in civil matters, external things, what to wear, what to eat, who to marry, what job to do, even whether or not you will help your neighbor out or give to charities. But in spiritual matters, with your relationship with God, as far as it pertains to your salvation, you were by nature in bondage to sin and Satan. And so by nature, you were enemies of God and objects of God's wrath. Now, on earth, God's wrath feels like free will because God gives depraved men over to the desires of their hearts. You want to worship money, life, happiness, or family? Fine, God says, you can have it. You want to believe in the goodness of man, that he will do the right thing and improve his lot in life and with God? Go right ahead, God says. You want to believe that homosexuality, abortion, or prostitution, which is nothing more than living together outside of marriage, you want to believe that's okay? You can have it, God says. Far more terrifying than a God who shakes mountains and hurls lightning bolts is a God who gives men over to their own desires. Because then man truly thinks he is free to make the right choice and to do good, but he only distances himself from God. Then he thinks that he is free to do as he pleases and to help his neighbor, but he really only ends up sprinting towards hell. Men are not being thrown into hell against their will, but they are singing and dancing as they go, because they truly believe they are serving God in what they do, whoever that God may be. What we call human will, after the fall, what we call human will, God calls error, sin, and death. What we call freedom, God calls slavery and bondage. So the only thing you could contribute to your salvation, the only way thing you could do to about your relationship with God is to bring sin and resistance and to flee from God. That's it. That's all you bring to the table. You could not bring yourself closer to God. You could not choose to come to God. So the law exposes your helplessness, your weakness, your bondage. It takes everything you think is great about yourself, every progress or improvement you have made, and says it's not enough. It strips it all away because it's not perfect as God is perfect. So the law leaves you in your sins, destined for death and hell. So Jesus sent his two disciples to untie the donkey and her colt. They could not set themselves free any more than a sinner can set himself free. Those animals were bound to the wrong master, but the Lord needed them. He was their master. You were bound to the wrong master, but the Lord needed you. He is your master. So he untied the chains of sin and tore off the bonds of death. He plundered you from Satan's kingdom to bring you into his own kingdom. It was against your will. You were fighting and kicking the entire way because you were quite content where you were. You didn't want to come to him, but he came to you. You didn't choose him, but he chose you. You did not call him, but he called you out of this bondage and into his service. God saves those who are against him. He saves those who were his enemies. God saves those who think they were good on their own and didn't need anyone else's help. And if God is the one who is saving, then we are doing nothing. So why did God choose these donkeys? To teach us grace. Why did God choose us? Simply by grace. The law has no place in your salvation. It doesn't matter what you have done before or after your conversion. It never brings you closer to God. God did not choose you because you are somehow better than those people out there, but solely by grace. So the law reaches its end in Christ crucified. The works that you perform do not help. They do not make you pleasing to God, but Christ does. He is the one who bore your sins into death. He is the one who took your punishment and suffered the wrath of God in your place. He is the one who makes you pleasing to God. For Christ has borne the law in his body and nailed it to the cross. And now in its place stands Christ risen from the dead. He is your salvation. He fulfills the law for you so that there might be salvation for everyone who believes. At this time of year, the world is obsessed with the magic of the season. It believes in the magic of this holiday season because the world thinks that man is by nature good and can do great things. But we do not call December the holiday season, do we? We don't even call it Christmas. We call it Advent because we believe by nature we could not come to Christ, for we were in bondage to sin and Satan. Advent means coming. We were not coming to God. Even now, we are not coming to God, but God is coming to us. And God comes to us differently than what we expect. He doesn't come to encourage us to do better, but he comes as a helpless infant because we are helpless. He doesn't come to tell us what to do to make ourselves better, but he comes to do it for us because we couldn't do it perfectly and didn't even want to by nature. He comes in weakness and humility and poverty and shame. He comes to die. He dies because we could not live rightly. He dies because we were that bad. He dies because he loves and wants to set us free from our sins. For we were captive beasts of burden which could only be set free by Christ and by his death on the cross. So no feel-good stories this time of year, at least not in this sanctuary. Nothing about the nostalgia of Christmas here, for the only story that matters is that babe of Bethlehem hanging on a cross to set us free. Oh, our sinful flesh still likes these personal stories. We like to feel good about ourselves because we think that we do have some potential to do good, and we just need a little kick of God's grace to get us going in the right direction. But Christ is our everything, which means we bring nothing. Christ is our everything. He is the one who comes to save us, and he comes on a cross. He comes in baptism. He comes in the Word, and he comes in the Supper. There he reveals himself as our Savior. There he releases us from bondage to sin and Satan, and there he puts us in bondage to God. And that, dear friends, that is freedom. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.